Well, we're so happy that you're here today. Welcome to Village Church. Some of you, this is your first time. I'm Pastor Ashley Jennings. This is Pastor Cody Bren. That man right there is my husband that just did the announcement. That's Matt. And so, I want to start just by acknowledging yesterday we had our helicopter egg drop for the community. We had, I think, upwards of like 700 people there. Yeah, the kids had a blast. It was really neat as a church to be able just to provide that for our community. And people were so excited. I can't tell you, people said, thank you so much. This church is amazing. And they've never even been to our church. In fact, people call our church their church home, but they've never even walked in the doors. Okay, that's how you know you're doing something right as a people. So I want to say thank you to all of you that made that happen, especially Megan Ahashuk. Where's Megan? Megan. Megan at one point had her two-year-old son strapped to her back in the 90-degree heat running around telling people what to do. And so we are so grateful. Megan got sponsors. She got volunteers. She organized the whole thing, and so we're grateful. So can we just say thank you? Megan, we have a $50 gift card to Texas Roadhouse, so you can go out and maybe not eat keto that night. You just enjoy yourself. We just want to say thank you to you. Yeah. We are so excited that you're here. This is one of our favorite days of the year. This is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It was a little over 2,000 years ago that they went to go to the tomb. The women went to the tomb to visit, and he wasn't there. And they're like, where is he? Where is he? And he wasn't there. And they ran back and they told the disciples, there was an angel there. And he said that he was risen and we saw him. And the disciples ran down and sure enough, he was gone. And so it's amazing that he overcame death, right? That's a miracle. And I was thinking about it this week and thinking, you know, sometimes because we're thousands of years out from it, we think like, oh, that's kind of a nice story, you know, but it's not a story. It's not a fable. It's the truth. Amen. It did happen. It's real. And we're so grateful to celebrate him today. And so we're actually going to read a passage of scripture this morning that was a week before Jesus rose from the dead. So it's actually not the traditional Easter story, but we think it has some incredible insight for us this morning.
Yeah, we want to read today out of John chapter 11, starting at verse 17. If you have your Bibles, you can open to that now. Otherwise, it will be on the screen for you. Give you a second to open there.
We have an app as well. You can open up in there.
Yep, and we want to also let you know about our website in this time as you're kind of opening your Bibles. All of our past sermons are on there, and so if after today you think somebody might want to listen to this sermon, you can direct them to that website, and that's villagechurchaz.com. And we also have our podcast up and the app, so there's lots of different ways that you can connect with us through those means. So let's read together John chapter 11, verses 17 through 44. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again, Martha. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. But when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I love this story because it puts the resurrection of Jesus into some wildly practical terms for what it can mean for us. On Easter, on this Resurrection Sunday, we often think about Jesus' rising from the dead, right? Rising from the grave, overcoming death. But he was doing that even before he himself died. That is the power of the Messiah. That is the power of the Jesus that we hold on to, that we believe in. And so we want you to know, just even through this passage, that Jesus has resurrection power for you today. Not just in death, not just when you reach heaven, but today, Jesus Christ, because of his death on the cross and his rising from the grave, today there is resurrection power for you. Are you excited about that? Are you thankful for that fact? I am so thankful that that is a fact, because Jesus resurrects. He's in the business of resurrecting the dead into life, mending the broken, right? He is in the business of redemption. Mm-hmm. That is who he is. He brings what was dead to life. And yes, again, we get to have eternal life. And that is an incredible gift. That is an incredible part and promise of what he did for us. But Jesus also has the power to bring that resurrection to us in every moment of every day of our lives. And there is so much that we need to be resurrected from. Amen? There is so much daily that I know I need the resurrection power of Jesus in my life. There's no other story like this, guys. There is no other promise like what Jesus offers us here. There's no story like the gospel, no bigger miracle. There's no other God or religion. There is no greater love than what was shown to us in that death on the cross. Nothing is greater. Nothing tears down walls. Nothing restores like the power of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And today we want to unpack that truth, like we said. How do we take hold of this resurrection power today? We're going to go heal on through that.
Right. So the first thing we see here demonstrated with Lazarus is that you have to believe this story, okay? You have to believe it because it's not just good enough that it's true. You have a part in it with Jesus, okay? So you have to say, yes, I believe it. Jesus says to the women, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." That is the condition. And think about it. Who can make that claim except Jesus? That's a pretty crazy claim, right? Whoever believes in me will never die. That is an incredible thing to state. And no one else can make that claim except Jesus. And at the end of kind of going through this with Lazarus, he asks Martha, he says this thing, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" Because she's sitting there and she's like, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Because she's seen him. She's seen him heal. She's seen him do amazing things in his ministry. And this is coming toward the end. And she's like, I know that if you would have been here, he would have been fine. He says, No. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. I know you see with your eyes that Lazarus is in that tomb, but you don't understand that I don't just have the ability to heal and make things right. I have the ability to resurrect life. I can bring someone back from the dead. And then he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And he says, whoever lives by believing in me. You know, John 3:16, it's a famous verse in scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. And that belief word is not just an emotional, like, oh, I believe, you know, or a mental thought. It is an action. It is a life lived by believing what Jesus says is true, that he is who he says he is. Do you believe this?
And you know what? There's a million things you can believe in today, right? Even within the church, there's a million different variations on Jesus. And that's an unfortunate development in our church history. But there's only one true Jesus. There's only one belief in the real Jesus that's going to do anything for us. We can believe in a Jesus that just kind of likes us as a friend and kind of hangs out with us and wants to be buddy-buddy and like kind of says, oh, whatever you're going through, that's cool. Like, we'll get through this together, no big deal, right? Or we can believe in a Jesus that has the conquering power to eliminate every last shred of brokenness in us. And there's a huge difference. There is a massive difference in those two. Yes, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but he's also a conquering hero in our lives.
Amen.
That is the difference. That is who we have to believe in. That is the most important single belief that we can hold on to, is that Jesus is who he says he is. And I love that he says here, whoever believes in me. He doesn't say whoever believes in the church. He doesn't say whoever believes in the Christian. He says whoever believes in me. And I guarantee that some of you here today have fallen into the trap, as I have, of believing in the church or the Christian more than Jesus. And when that happens, we're going to be disappointed every single time. We have to hold on to Jesus. He's saying, believes in me. That is who we have to look to. That is who we have to hold on to. When I was in college, I grew up in the church. I grew up going to Christian school. I worked at a Bible bookstore, the first job I had. I worked at summer camps, Bible summer camps in the summers, right? My whole life was a big Christian bubble. And then I went to Bible college. And I'll tell you what, when I got there, I was in for a very rude awakening that Bible college was really no different than any other college I could have gone to. There was partying. There was all kinds of nonsense happening there all the time. And it just kind of rocked my little sheltered world. And I had no idea what to do with this information. And honestly, I wanted to walk away from the faith. I wanted to say, if this is what it is to be a real Christian, then I'm done. I don't want anything to do with this. And so I actively tried to leave my faith behind me because I was so put off by what Christians did, by what the church did. But here's the thing. My faith as a young child anchored me. And so in that moment, when I was a kid, I drove a stake into this foundation. When I chose to believe that Jesus was who he says he was, even as a kid. And when the world kind of shook that belief system, and I looked outside and I saw these Christians that weren't really being who they say they were supposed to be, and I saw the church broken in a mess, what held me and what anchored me was Jesus, not the church. And I found that I couldn't walk away. I could not walk away from this belief system because I knew Jesus. I knew the power in him. I knew what it was to pray to him. I knew what it was to have a real live relationship with him. And there's nothing that can shake that. I couldn't put that away. I couldn't say, well, that's not real. I didn't have that choice because I was firmly rooted and anchored in that belief. And even though I strayed, I was always anchored to that belief point. That is why belief in Jesus and that he is who he truly says he is, and our work of getting to know the real Jesus, is so vital to our faith. Because even when the Christian fails us, even when the church fails us, we won't go too far. Mm-hmm. Because we know Jesus never, ever fails us.
Yeah, amen. Yes. You know, the resurrection is a story that we can believe, that we can put all our eggs in that basket.
Amen.
Okay, we don't have to. Well, I know, that was pretty good. Huh? didn't even try. Didn't even
don't
try.
Don't even have to try. You just
kind of impress myself sometimes. You know, I love the story of Lee Strobel. He's a phenomenal journalist and researcher. And his wife, he was an atheist, his wife became a Christian. And he was so frustrated with her because he's like, how could you believe such a ridiculous story? Right? That's what his perception was. And you know what? Christianity is cruxed on the revelation, the resurrection. Sorry, if the resurrection doesn't happen, what are we doing here? Okay? It's everything. And so he's like, I'm going to go right for the jugular with this. I'm going to go show my wife that this is not true. So he went on this journey, and he went around and he researched some of the top scholars around the world. And along the journey, he said, there's way too much evidence that it's true based on the few things that say that it's not. He became a Christian. His whole family was saved. It is a story that we can rely on, that we can put all of our faith and trust and belief in. And so my question to you this morning is, do you believe this? Do you believe it? And not just like, I think I do. I don't know. But do you believe it? And I want to say something. It's okay if you're here this morning and you're thinking, I want to believe it. It sounds kind of crazy, but I want to. I love the idea of a Savior that can not only bring me into heaven, but that can bring me resurrection power today. I've got some things that need to be resurrected in my life. I want to believe it. Or maybe, you know what? I don't know that I do believe it, but I'm going to find out. He's okay with all those things. I want you to know it is not an accident that you came into this room today. I firmly believe that. It's not an accident that you walk through these doors and that you're hearing this message today, that I believe that God is after you. And he's not intimidated by your doubt. He's not intimidated by your questions. He is for you, and he will show you the truth. And so my question, do you believe this? And what is stopping you from believing? Let me tell you something. We can't quietly keep our doubts to ourselves. Like, oh, that's kind of, I don't know if I want to deal with it. This is everything. This is our eternity. This is abundant life here and now. You're missing out if you don't believe it. So if you don't this morning, or you're not sure, don't keep that to yourself. Start processing that with someone that does understand. Start doing your own research. The Bible says this thing. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Know why you believe what you believe. We don't want any blind followers here. Jesus wants people that believe it through and through and that understand it. Do you believe this? That is the first part of allowing resurrection power to take life in your life today.
Right. And the next part of how we make resurrection power a reality for us today is to take hope. And so we kind of see this in verse 38 through 41 in this passage here. It says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Belief requires action. Right? They could have just said, yeah, we believe who you say, who you are, who you say you are. But then in that moment when he said, well, then roll away the stone. They could have been like, I mean, I get what you're saying, but like, you realize that's going to be a mess behind there. And I don't know if I'm not really ready for that. You know, I don't have the Vicks VapoRub under my nose ready to deal with this. What the reality is behind there, right? And Jesus, what's so amazing is he knew that he had already dealt with it. There was nothing to fear. There was no odor. There was no gross behind that barrier for them because he had already dealt with it. And that is what is so amazing, right? He says, take away the stone, but that was a pretty huge action moment that they had to take. They had to take hope that he was who he said he was, right? Here's the thing. Nobody wants to deal with the gross stuff hiding behind the tomb door. But what Martha didn't understand is that, as we just said, Jesus had already dealt. He had already performed the miracle that Martha was afraid to face. He'd already done it. He dealt with all the excuses already not to roll away that stone and expose what was behind it, but they still had to roll away the stone. Mm-hmm. They still had to put that belief into action. Jesus is teaching us here what it means to truly take hold of the hope that he offers us, what that action actually looks like, no matter what may be behind our closed doors, no matter what we think can never be brought to light in our lives, he is so faithful to guide us out of those dark places and prove to us that he has already done it. Amen. He has already dealt with what seems impossible if we'll only place our hope in him, if we'll only take hold of what he's offering us.
Yeah, you know, I have a 3-month-old son, and he came after I have an 8-year-old daughter and an almost 7-year-old daughter, so it's been kind of a while since we've been in the baby phase, okay? And when I think about something stinky, I think about diapers, all right? And I was like blindsided by diapers. You know, when you have a newborn, like, you know those diapers that you're like, how on earth did all that come out of you, okay? And I know it's gross, all right? But I'll tell you, and sometimes I'm like, ew. Like, when people are saying, you know, it's been 4 days, that's kind of how I approach the diaper changing sometimes, right? Like, oh gosh, I don't want to do this. You know, the other day, Matt was changing a diaper, and he had him on his stomach. So picture this, right? Like, it had just, like, blown up the back all the way to the neckline, you know? We're like, how do I navigate this? I don't even know. Just, like, put him in the bath. I have no idea, clothes and all, you know. And I'll tell you what, the resurrection of Jesus is like going to change that diaper, and it's been dealt with. It's done. Someone else did it, cleaned it up. It's perfect. It's right. It's nothing that you have to do. It's already done. It's already been changed. It smells great. It's amazing.
That's a miracle. That's a straight miracle right there. Yeah.
It's a miracle. You know, I firmly believe, some of you today believe, you believe the story. You hear us preach about the resurrection, you're hearing the word of God, and you're like, yes, I believe it, I'm 100% in, but I've got some things behind the stone that I'm afraid to face. There are some things in my life that have died, so to speak. Some things that I've lost. Some things that hurt, that bring me struggle. Some things that I'm fighting that I don't want anyone to know about. Some sin that I'm entertaining. I've got all these things, and I'm worried that if I engage Jesus, really open up my heart, that he's going to roll away that stone, and it's going to be bad. It's going to smell. It's going to be hard. It's going to hurt me. And I want you to hear today that there is no hole that you've fallen in, no thing that you've dug for yourself, no hole that someone dug for you, no trap that Satan set and you maybe took the bait and fell into it. I don't care if it's been 1 minute you've been in that hole, or 20 years of an addiction or a sin or something or brokenness in your family. Jesus has the power to fix it. Amen?
Amen.
He has the power to fix it. He has the power. In fact, he says, I got it handled. I already handled it. Don't worry. You're going to have to do some work. That's what the church is for, right? You're going to have to get encouraged and have people that are like, we got this together, but I've dealt with it. I've already dealt with it. Some of you this morning know what I'm talking about. You're hearing that, and I believe the Holy Spirit is pressing on you. There are things that you're afraid to face, things that just haunt you even, maybe from your past. And Jesus says, just let that go. You know, sometimes we think, I always wonder, like, if I was in that situation, like, I believe Jesus can raise someone from the dead, right? Right? I believe it. I'm like, yeah. But, like, only it's like a 15-minute window. You know, like if he's there when they die and instantly before their body gets cold, he's like, okay, now just breathe again. Okay, fine, we're good. But I mean, 4 days, can you imagine the hope that it kind of dwindled, right? Like, just if only Jesus was here, and the more time that passes, the reality is he's gone. I mean, we've gone through the mourning process. He's wrapped up. He's put in the grave, in the tomb, the stone. I mean, these are big stones that they put in front of these graves. That's been locked up. It's never going to be opened again. I mean, he's gone, and they're weeping and they're mourning. And Jesus says, it doesn't matter how much time has passed. It doesn't matter if it's been 10 minutes, 4 days, a decade, your entire life. If you don't know Jesus and you've made a mess of it, because that's what we do when we take it into our own hands, right? And you come in here today, Jesus says, it's all right. I got it handled. Don't be afraid to roll away that stone. I believe that Jesus wants to resurrect some hope in this place today. He wants to resurrect that hope that, you know what, that is what he does. Why am I hiding from that? Why am I afraid to bring some things out into the light or to allow Jesus to have his way in my life? Don't be afraid this morning.
Yeah. I think one of the most powerful parts of this passage is also the shortest verse in the Bible, and it's just Jesus wept. Jesus was so deeply moved over this brokenness in this situation and the way that that brokenness was hurting the people he loved so much. I need you to hear today that Jesus weeps for your brokenness. He's not just standing off somewhere waiting for you to come to him and then he'll do a work. He's already actively involved in your life. He has already made his way into and shuffled around inside of your brokenness. He knows it intimately. He knows it better than you know it. Do you understand that? He knows what you're going to face. He already gets it. And here's the amazing thing. He knows how to get you out of it. Because he knows it better than you, he knows how to relieve you of that thing. That's why he died on the cross, for the privilege to take whatever is weighing you down, whatever is broken in you, take it on himself so that you can live again, so you can be resurrected. He's just waiting for that invitation from you so he can set things right. What do you need to trust Jesus about in your life today? What thing seems more than impossible to face for you? Let me tell you, the only chance that you have truly of once and for all overcoming those things is by facing them hand in hand with Jesus. Otherwise, I know they can seem way too daunting to even look at. But with Jesus by our side, with Jesus paving the way and saying, come on, let me show you how this works. Everything can be different. Everything can change in your life.
Yeah, Jesus says, I'm about to resurrect some things. I need you to believe in me. I need you to take hope. Don't worry about how long it's been. It doesn't matter. Take hope. And then he says this incredible thing. He says, step out. He literally says to Lazarus, come out of that grave. Can you just imagine this moment? Cody and I were laughing, prepping this. Can you imagine Lazarus like waking up like, what is all this? You know, like this like crazy thing. He says, Lazarus, come out. I just picture him outside yelling into that tomb. And can you imagine his sisters? And let me tell you, there were multiple witnesses. And that's how you know this stuff is true, right? Because historically, the people that were against Jesus would have done everything to disprove it. And they couldn't. All right, still, shortly after this, he rides into Jerusalem on that donkey, and the people have seen that Lazarus was dead, right? It's not that far from Jerusalem. It says 2 miles. It was not that, they could have walked there, and they've heard, and they're just praising him as king. And so he says, Lazarus, come out of that grave. I love the imagery, right, of stepping over the threshold of the tomb. There was some stinky stuff back there, but Jesus dealt with it, and he said, now, not only have I dealt with it, now you got to walk out of that dark place. You got to come out of that tomb. The stone is rolled away. It's been dealt with. There are people waiting for you out here. There's victory to be celebrated. Step out. He's calling us today, and I love at the very end, he says, what does it say exactly? I want to read it. It says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes. Whatever you've been wearing that's heavy and ugh, take it off, right? Sometimes Jesus deals with things, but we still like to operate as if he didn't. Right? Have you done that in your life? Have you ever had a moment in your life where you're reacting to a situation and you're literally like not present for it? Have you ever been there where you're like, why am I reacting this way? That's weird. You know, like you are aware. Some of us are all just caught up in it, right? It is what it is. But I know there's times in my life where I'm like not even present for what is happening. And I believe in Christianity, we do that. We know what Jesus has done for us. But he says, step out, cross the threshold, take off that old creation, those old grave clothes, let him go. Let him just, I wonder what Lazarus was doing. Like, just let him go. Let him roam. Let him do his thing. Let him be a walking testimony to the victory and the resurrecting power of Jesus.
Yeah. And you know what? Lazarus could have just stayed there, right? Jesus could have said, come out, Lazarus, and he could have been like, you know what? I'm a little more comfortable here right now. I'm kind of cozy in these grave clothes. I've been clearly here for a while. I'm a little sore. I'm just going to kind of hang out for a bit. I like kind of this dark cave. Maybe Lazarus was an introvert, right? Maybe he went to that little cave and he liked that little place by himself. Nobody was bothering him, right? But to everybody else, that would have made zero sense, right? Everybody else was like, what are you doing? Get out of here. You are, what? You were just dead. Come on. But how often do we do that? How often is Jesus calling you to come out of the grave, step out of the tomb, walk over that threshold, and every single other person in your life may say the same thing. What are you doing? Why are you staying there? It makes zero sense for you to stay wallowing in that brokenness when Jesus, all he said was, get out of there.
Preach.
Step out. Right? Today is the opportunity for you. Step out. Get out of there. Get out of that grave that you have found yourself in. And I know firsthand that sometimes that feels like an impossible situation. Mm-hmm. I know firsthand, I've been there where it just seems like, well, this is just it. This is my life. This is the way it's going to be till the day I die. And you know what? Well, okay. That's just it. That's fine. You know, other people are getting what they need and they're getting, their brokenness restored. But you know what? It's okay if I don't have that. That's okay. I guess I'll just live this way for the rest of my life. And everybody else around me is like, what are you talking about? You are crazy for thinking that. Mm-hmm. I felt that way standing up front of people preaching. And I still felt like, man, this is just who I am. I guess I'll preach this message of restoration for other people. But I didn't think it was possible for me. And I know that if I felt that way, I know many of you in here feel the same exact way. That you feel trapped in your brokenness. You feel like there's no way out of that grave, that tomb. Nobody's pushing that stone away for you. But let me tell you right now, we've pushed the stone away. Mm-hmm. The stone is rolled away for you right now in this moment. What's been hiding behind that tombstone is now brought to light in this moment. I need you to accept that. Accept that right now it is in the light. The sun is shining in there. There's no more hiding. It's been exposed. And right now, right here, Jesus is telling you, it's time to be done. It's time to leave that grave behind. It's time to take off the chains and the grave clothes and the junk that you have been carrying for so, so long. It is time. Today is the day for your resurrection because he did it first.
Amen.
He overcame the grave for you. Don't you owe it to him to see what that power can do in your life. Please today, please, from the bottom of my heart, if you don't take anything else away from today, if you never step foot back in this church, please don't walk out of here still in the grave, still wearing grave clothes, still wearing those chains. Deal with it. Let Jesus be who he says he is to you.
Amen. Amen. You know, we're going to have the worship team come forward. And I, like we said earlier, I really believe that God has brought you here today. You thought maybe it was your choice. The Bible says he draws all men, all people to himself. He's in the business of what we call wooing you. And we hear it a lot when people give their lives to Jesus and they start experiencing this transformation and this resurrection power in their life. People say things like, man, now I look back and I see where he was. He was there and he was there and he was there. And all this time, he's been wooing me. They say it. It's part of your story too. I know it. It's part of mine. I wasn't a Christian until later. I didn't grow up in the church or anything like that. And I look back now and the things that I went through as a child and the way he protected me and the way that he encouraged me when I was broken and depressed and really going through it in my own life. He was always there. He was always there. He was drawing me in to himself. And so this morning, we're going to worship. We're going to give God all the glory. We're going to respond to this message. And I want to tell you something. I gave my life to Christ years ago. I'll never forget that moment. I was at a youth camp. I was 17 years old. And I thought I had given my life earlier on, but really hadn't done much with it. You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't really do anything about it. I mean, no one would know. Like, nothing's different about me. I'll never forget it. Just, I was at this youth camp my senior year of high school, and the message going out, it just touched my heart. What they were saying, it was like, you're speaking my language right now. Have you been reading my diary? Have you been, you know, have you been listening in to what I've been going through? Like, I don't even know you, and you're saying exactly what I need. And I'll never forget that moment. There was like no way I couldn't do it. I was just like, yes, you get my life. Absolutely, every ounce of it. Every ounce. And I believe that's happening in this place today, but it's going to take your choice. I also believe that even though I said I believed back then, right, I have had to say it over and over in my life, right? Like, I've come up against things in my life where it's like, okay, do I really believe it? Like, have you ever been there? Like, you better be real, right? Have you ever been there? Raise your hand. Like, I need you to be real. I'm putting all my eggs in that basket. You better be who you say you are. And I'll tell you, reaffirming that belief, he has never let me down. Not one time. There is a room full of people in here that would say he's never let me down. There is a room full, a community full of stories. We've had over 150 people say yes to Jesus in the last 2 years in 85145. That's revival. That's 4% of the entire community here, and we're after way more than that, right? We believe in the resurrecting power of Jesus, and we have a community full of people that will tell you, that aren't afraid, that have been trained how to tell their story, how to tell you, this is my Jesus, this is what he did for me, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. And so this morning, I want to ask you to be brave. I know the Holy Spirit is pressing in on you. I know some of you are just like broken right now. You're holding back tears even. You're just like, I can't believe this, that I'm here this morning. I want to ask you to be brave. If you want to state this morning, I believe in Jesus. And you know what? You don't know exactly what that means for your life yet. You don't know yet. But you know, I can't walk out of here with those grave clothes. I can't walk out of here on my own anymore. I gotta at least give it a try, right? If that's you this morning, would you be brave and just raise your hand? I'm gonna ask you, thank you. Anyone else? Just thank you. Anyone else? Just be brave. Just do it. Thank you. I see you. Praise God. Praise God. I'm gonna pray for you right now. Father, Lord, you are so good. And you're so gentle, and you're kind, and you're loving. And Father, there are people here this morning that have said, I want to start this. I believe in you. And I don't know exactly what that means. And there might be doubts swirling around my head right now, but I know that you're speaking to me this morning. Father, would you minister to them right now? Would you just, I just sense this feeling of peace washing over these people, God. Would you remind them that you made them? Your word says you knit them together in their mother's womb, that even you know the amount, the number of hairs on their head. You know them better than they know themselves. And God, you are in the business of showing yourself to us. And so make yourself known now. Father, we thank you. If you're here this morning and you're hearing this, take hope. Take hope. Part. He said, you know, I gave my life to Christ a long time ago, but there's some things in my life that, you know what, the hope has dwindled. Much like the girls, the sisters were, you know, it's been 4 days. It's been a long time. I believe that Jesus is resurrecting hope in this place today. And I want to ask you to be even more brave than the first. I'm going to ask you if there are things in your life that you're saying, you know what, I hear you, Jesus, this morning, and I'm going to take hope that you have resurrection power for me. I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you just stand? I know there's, so don't be afraid. I know. Stand up. Come on. Make it happen. There you go. Thank you. Brave. Who needs hope resurrected? Amen. Amen. Who needs hope resurrected this morning in your life? You're facing stuff that's difficult. It's hard. And you know what? You're like, I need my hope to be increased. I need my faith. You know, the Bible says there's this man that says, I believe Jesus, but help me with my unbelief. There are things that I don't think I believe. There are things that I want to believe, but I don't know. You help me with it. If that's your prayer, would you just stand up? Take hope this morning. Amen. Would you just reach your hands out? We're just going to pray for these people. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Father, I pray right now from the bottom of these people's feet to the top of their head that hope would fill up to overflowing. Father, that it would fill up. And Father, that it wouldn't even just fill these people, God, but that it would fill up so much that it would overflow into the lives of the people around them. God, I pray an anointing, a fresh spirit over these people. God, where they've been downtrodden, where they've been struggling, where they're afraid of what it might mean to face some of the stuff in their lives, God, would you just increase their hope, help them with their unbelief. I'm gonna ask you to stay standing. Ask you to stay standing. The last part here, step out of that tomb. If that word is for you this morning, would you just stand up? If you're someone that says, you know what, I know Jesus dealt with it, I have the hope, and now I just need to walk it out. That could be someone that said, you know, I gave my life to Christ, but I've never really walked it out yet. And I'm committing this morning that I'm gonna walk it out. Would you just stand up? Would you just stand up? Be brave. There you go. Awesome. Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Awesome. Anyone else? This is your time. This is your moment. You're going to go back out into the world and you're going to eat ham or whatever you do today. But right now we're standing up. We're stepping out. Stand up. Praise God. I'm going to invite the rest of you to stand this morning. I'm just going to give you a moment just to say thank you. On your own, between you and Jesus, just say thank you for what he's done. God, we hear you. We know you're here. Lord, we're moved. You're pointing our feet in a new direction, so many of us this morning. Giving us a fresh start. Father, thank you that in your presence we get a fresh start. Amen. God, thank you that we're not defined by our mistakes, by our shame, by the things people have done to us or said to us or the brokenness that life has brought our way. Father, we are defined by what you say about us. And God, you said we were worth dying for. Incredibly valuable, Father. We were worth dying for. You took it for us, God, that we could experience victory. Lord, we are so grateful. We're so grateful. You are risen. And Father, may we live lives that reflect that resurrection power, Father. For those of us that have believed for the first time today, would you, Lord, I know the Bible says the angels rejoice when even one believes. I just picture churches all over this morning and people coming to know you. And Lord, the way heaven is rejoicing, it's beautiful. Thank you. For those that have said, I need my hope increased, God, would this be the moment right now? Not a journey. Some things are a journey, but Lord, when it comes to this, Lord, just right now, miraculously increase our hope. And Lord, empower us now with courage, with bravery to step out. Throw off the grave clothes. Thank you that you've died and overcame death, that we'd have the opportunity to do so. Father, thank you. We love you. We love you. We give you our lives. You're so worthy of every last ounce of our praise, of our breath. God, you're the one that put it in our lungs, and we turn it back to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.